Dan, obviously we've talked about adjustments with the pandemic, and you mentioned adjustments to now being a signature event.
Yeah.
Just dealing with all of the circumstances and everything as it comes, just how was it navigating through these sets of challenges?
That's a great question. It's taken time, and it's taken a lot of dialogue. And the PGA Tour is changing right in front of us. And we being Jack Nicklaus, myself, Jack Nicklaus too, have spent a lot of time talking to the PGA Tour about where the tour is going and where the Memorial Tournament fits in. And we're confident that we're fitting in perfectly. We may move a date, we may change the composition of our field, but in the end, it's still the Memorial Tournament. And it's a prominent event within the world of golf, and we're proud of that. We're going to keep on ensuring that it is.
As a follow to that, the time of year you mentioned, this is the latest that the tournament's been held.
Yeah.
What kind of lessons can you guys take? Obviously, it's not a dry slate. This is obviously your 49, but it's a lot of new in a lot of senses.
Yeah. You know, I break it down into three components. From a tournament execution standpoint, being in the local market, being a regional attraction, you see no difference between the week before and the week of. It's early June. People are excited to get out. We always say that this is kind of the rite of passage from winter or spring into the Memorial or into summer. And the Memorial Tournament serves as a great place for people to gather, reconnect, family and friends, business, all of that. See no change from one week to the other. There will be a change because they'll be focused on the U.S. Open from a national perspective. And we're working hard with the PGA Tour to ensure that the Memorial Tournament retains and maintains its spot as a prominent contributor to the game. And we're working to ensure that that's communicated through all the various platforms of communication that exist today, whether it's the broadcast itself, whether it's all the social platforms, whether it's all the streaming opportunities or media. And we see great opportunity for that. And we expect the third piece of it, which is the players to support the tournament like they always have. And by the announcements today, we feel really confident that we're in great position. We're going to continue to get commitments as we get closer to the tournament and expect to have a really strong field.
Dan, I want to ask you, every time we're around Jack, it's just great. Does he surprise you being 84 and his mind is still sharp and he's still got all these ideas?
He's motivation for every one of us. 84-year-old, doesn't tire, loves to get up and go to work every day on stuff he really enjoys. And I think that's his message, whether privately or publicly. Do stuff that you enjoy doing, take care of yourself, and you can continue to thrive and contribute for as long as possible. He was great to see at the Legends Luncheon last week, and great for him. He continues to be passionate about this event, this community, and all that it represents. And Barber is too. Jack Nicklaus too is as well. And so we got a great team, obviously, in the Nicklaus family. Jack's the leader of it, and I don't see him slowing down.
Julie Inkster mentioned this last week. She said his drive for what he wants to do for the kids is just amazing.
It is, and he motivates so many other people to go along with it. It started early. Jack and Barbara tell the story all the time that, you know, when they started having kids, their second child, Nan, ran into an issue, had to be at Nationwide Children's Hospital for a period of time, and it was a serious incident, and she recovered from it, thankfully, and they decided at that point they wanted to get back. This was a family of a couple mid-20-year-olds, right, who decided that if they're going to have a position of influence and opportunity, that they're going to turn it into something positive. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Right.
We all were in our 20s. I don't know if I was thinking much about that when I was in my 20s. And they just continued to grow and bring people along, and I think that's probably the biggest attribute that they could ever leave as a legacy, is the fact that other people follow what they do and they want to give and emulate them and do better. And that's a great thing to see.
You mentioned on the podium about how the tournament's going to have less players, and sometimes that might be less is good sometimes. Yes. Maybe 122 is too many.
Yeah. Well, yes, we thrived at 120. Mm-hmm. Being able to play off both sides on Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. We're traditionalists. I learned from Jack. I'm a traditionalist, right? Love the fact that we get to play off the first team. And love the fact that that starts Thursday morning at 7:30 in Tucson's. I think that's real proper golf, as I'd like to say. Mm-hmm. And I think what fans are going to recognize, number one, we already do that on the weekend.
Right.
But we bring it into Thursday, Friday, and it gives people a chance to feel the momentum of the day, mm-hmm. Starting Thursday morning, right? So they can get going and find their favorite group, walk with them, and then build in towards the end of day, the backside, when there's everyone's on the backside watching golf. Mm-hmm. And that creates atmosphere, that creates excitement and fun, and I'm looking forward to getting back there.
Speaking of the 16th hole, Jack mentioned that last week. Isn't that great that Jack will talk to the guys and see what they think about things before he actually does it?
Yes. Yes, that's great. It is really nice to see, starting with rapport that he's maintained over the generations of golfers. Right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned he's 84 years old. These guys are in their 20s, and they still can relate. He can relate to them, and they can relate to him. And it's not like a grandfather either. It's a contemporary.
Okay.
It's somebody who thinks. Somebody who understands the game as good as anybody, if not better. Somebody who's willing to have a dialogue and a debate and open-minded to come out with their thoughts on how things should change. And that's exemplified, but what's happened on number 16. But that's the reality is he's doing that every day, right? And talking to the players. He has a great relationship with them. And it's one of the reasons why we're so successful in having the players come as they do to the tournament.
Now, just for clarification, because there was talk about signature events, some having cuts, having no cuts.
Yeah.
There's a traditional cut here, correct?
There is, and so what the PGA Tour recognized is the ability for the player-hosted events, right? So the Legends events, so Tiger, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, there'd be a little bit of separation between the other five signature events. And one way to do that is to have a traditional cut. And so we'll have a cut on Friday night. It'll be 50 in ties or 10 within the lead. And so our field of 70 to 74 will be reduced to 50 plus. So maybe it'll get to 55 or 60.
Mm-hmm. Last year at this time I asked you about the honoree. This year at this time I'm going to ask you about Julie. Just what's your experience been like getting to know Julie and just to see her get honored? Obviously you've honored many of outstanding and accomplished women, and this is another opportunity.
Yeah, she's right there and with all of them, and she is a personality first and foremost. She will light up a room. She'll light up our honoree ceremony. She was a hell of a player, 7 majors, 31 wins, half of which, both majors and wins, came after she had 2 kids. Mm-hmm. And she is an example on how you can. She calls herself a grinder, so she may not have been the best at any aspect of her game, but she was really good at all of them because she worked really hard at it. And that produced an incredible career that we couldn't be more proud to have her here. She's a part of our captain's club, so she represents the tournament in a really strong fashion. And she's a personality, and I think we'll all enjoy seeing her and being a part of something special.
Dan, how has it been for you being a golf fan and you and I watched these people growing up and to meet them in person?
Yeah, it's great. It's you be careful at times because you don't want your heroes to be somebody that that they're not, right? That you think they're not. And the great thing about the game of golf is it attracts people who are good people, who respect the game, who are honest, who work really hard at it to be good because you have to. And then they spend time ensuring that they're doing something to give back. And you don't see that in every sport, in every landscape of life, but you do see it in golf, and that needs to be maintained. And a little editorial, it seems to be forgotten here in the last year or two with everything else that's going on in the world.
Right.
And the more we have an opportunity to talk about that, the better we are.
Dan, if you don't mind, because a lot of people don't understand how the voting goes for the honorees, and can you kind of, in a nutshell?
Couldn't be more proud of what Jack created in the first year. Again, when he was 34 years old, 35 years old, he created an organization comprised of significant contributors of the game. Mm-hmm. So whether you played or whether you were administrator, something did significant in the game. The captains were invited in the beginning. That group self-perpetuates itself, so they bring others in that have like minds, mm-hmm. and to carry on the spirit of what Jack created in the Memorial Tournament. And their role is to not only help the Memorial Tournament maintain its position in the game and grow, but also to recognize, vote on and recognize some of these contribute to the game. And that's one of their primary roles. And the production this year created Julie Inkster as the honoree with Tom Weisskopf as the posthumous honoree.